So I was getting clarification from Rami, our digital guy. He was saying it it was Sean Alexander from Madden 07.
07, I said 06.
Then it was Vince Young after that. Well, maybe you were right with the year.
Oh, talking about being on the cover the next year after he won.
He was on the cover. Exactly.
Yes, he was on the cover the year after. Yep.
And then 08 was Vince Young, 09 Favre, which I think was with the Vikings. So I was out before that. Like Vince Young might have been the last Madden that I bought. It was either that or the Alexander. I mean, you'll go back almost 20 years ago.
Ah, dude, it's crazy.
I used to love playing Madden football.
I did too. Oh my God. And we, you know, I don't know, like we would almost get in fist fights in college. We really would. Like, we would just snap on each other. If you scored and you gloated, which of course you score, you gloat, you talk smack, you dance. Like, it would get so serious that there were times, like, I'm talking about, like, best friends, teammates. We almost started swinging.
Throwing controllers.
Well, that I did do. I actually threw it out the window. Not just the controller, the entire console. I ripped it out of the wall.
It was
Sega. Okay. And the reason I did that is because we were playing the Yankees. I was always the Yankees. He was always Seattle. There was like Griffey, Buehner, Edgar, that really good team.
Yeah.
And long story short, Pat Kelly.
Yeah, I remember.
Made an error only because it was a glitch in the game. And it was like one of those, you couldn't control it. Like, it was a ground ball routine, like two hopper, game's over.
Which game was it again?
I think it was RBI baseball.
Pat Kelly, it might have been after that. Anyway,
Gallego, Pat Kelly, Boggs had just gotten there. Donnie, you know, it wasn't the real Donnie because his back wasn't right. Anyway, so I remember when it was about, you'd hear this little, like you would hear this like verbal warning, like, there's an error that's about to happen and there's nothing that you can do to control it. And I'm like, did I just hear what I just heard? And then it went through his legs. I just stood up, man. Sal, I stood up. This is my apartment off campus with one of my best friends who was in my wedding and who I played with. I stand up, I rip the console wires out of the, and I fling it out the window. We were on the third story, right? And then I took all the video games and I threw them out too. I wasn't done. And I'm like, why did I throw the games out? Of course, you get that remorse. Yeah. As I'm walking down, a truck comes and runs over two of the games. Not the console, though. It didn't get, but the console was broken anyway.
God.
But it shattered these. Oh, what a lunatic.
Yeah,
we used to take it seriously, I guess is what I'm saying.
But those are the fun days, playing those games that meant something.
Amazing.
So, all right, so back to tonight. Will you watch? I mean, I'm going to be into the game. Obviously, we get the baseball as well with the Yankees. Mets are off tonight, so I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to be excited about the football. I don't know if I'm going to bet the game yet.
Okay.
If I did, I would bet the Eagles. I think they're 7.5-point favorites right now. I think the Cowboys are going to have an awful year.
I think they're going to score a lot of points. I kind of like I like the over more in this game.
Schottenheimer?
They are wired to put – they're going to throw.
All right,
and you know, I don't know if I would touch, from a betting perspective, a rivalry game right away with both of these teams like nobody played in the preseason. I think Dallas' defense is going to be rough all year. I think their offense is going to be pretty good.
I don't like the head coach.
Yeah.
I don't love the quarterback. It's just a feeling. Now, again, it's based off of what we saw last year, even though Dak was hurt. You know, new head coach. It's just a feeling I have that Dallas is not going to be anywhere near where they were even a year ago without Dak Prescott. That's just my feeling. Like, it's a big step back for Dallas.
It could be.
Which is in part why I think the Giants could beat Washington in this first week and beat Dallas in week two. So we'll see it tonight. Will you bet the game?
I don't know yet. I was thinking about the over. I've got one in play so far. I told you. I dropped it on FanDuel the other day. Jets plus 2.5. Now, that's probably going to move. Like, if it's going to go either way, I think there's going to be some late Steeler money that's probably going to get it to 3 rather than down to 2. Like, right. So, I probably screwed myself by doing it when I did it, whatever. But I want a little something. Right. Just grease the skids with the Jets at home dogs, yeah.
And I guess maybe the way to ask this would be, obviously the Yankees are going to be a preference, no?
Honestly, tonight it's probably going to be the Dallas game. Well, Jen's from Dallas.
Interesting.
Yeah,
our
sister's in town because you know, my nephew's got some work here in the city.
Right. Get the family over.
Yeah, they just came here yesterday. So far, so good.
Yeah, no,
it's been great so far. I mean, it's the first week of school. I'm just teasing. And so we have a bunch of Texans in the house, and we always have at least one of my wife.
Big,
we're
going to
be watching
deal.
The Cowboys.
Now, will Colt be rooting against the Cowboys?
You know, for some reason,
Jets fan.
He does do that once in a while. Even like when he hates on the Mets, I'm like, dude, you don't have to be that kid. I'm like, all right, we know you're Yankee. You don't have to hate the Mets. Have some class. All right, I don't know why you'd root against Dallas. Mommy's rooting for the Cowboys. What are you doing? Like, he's so into the Jets. Like, he just doesn't have any bandwidth to want to see anybody else other than his teams do well.
Yeah.
Now, he's not going to be cheering if the Eagles scored. No, but he's not going to be rooting. he's not emotionally invested in Dallas winning or losing, if that's what you're asking. It's really the Jets.
Yeah, no.
But he wants Bobby to be happy.
But opening night football, especially where you're at with Dallas, yes, I want to be into it too. Yankees, okay, you're going to do the delicate balance. I guess my question is back to the original thing with Boomer and Gio we're talking about. I used to be able to lock in my Sunday routine. My team played Falcons game. I go get the chicken parm hero from Little Vincent's. I left Home Depot early. I made sure that they scheduled me. If I was on a Sunday, I was out of there at 12 o'clock. Pick up the hero on the way home. I'd go into my corner in my room and watch the game. And that's it. Like, no phone. This was before social media.
Beautiful world, actually.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Well, that's kind of my point. And then hearing them talk about it, I'm like, holy crap, no gambling. I mean, I would gamble, but not like on that game.
Mm-hmm.
I would have either, the little parlay tickets that we used to get from the bar.
Oh, yeah, I remember those white ones, those like rectangular ones. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, point was, I was watching the Falcons game like it was life and death in week one, week two, in a year where they sucked, and it meant the world to me without action on it, without fantasy, at least the primary thing.
True fandom.
Without the phone.
True fandom.
Yeah, and that's it, and I was locked in on everything. And then obviously you evolve and okay, you get more games on because you want to have the Sunday ticket and watch the Jets and Giants, whatever it may be, other teams, the gambling, the fantasy, then it starts to get out of control to a point where I don't know if I can actually sit there and watch a game without scrolling, without fantasy interest, without gambling on it. I don't know if I could do that. And I want to. I want to get back to that because it was better. I'm not saying that you have to never do social media or anything like that, but the way we watch games used to be better.
It used to be better. It didn't seem like the commercial breaks were as torturous as they are now. I'm with you in that regard. Listen, our minds and everything else in our world's been sped up so significantly the last 10, 12, 15 years that there's no going back. It's only going to get more and more and more. So we will be inundated more with stuff that will take away our attention span or decrease our ability to just focus on one thing and really enjoy it. I'm pretty good at it in the sense that, I will record the Giants when the Jets and the Giants are at one.
So like this Sunday one, you got to record one.
I will record the Giants. I will be walking in from where I get my food from at like 12:52. And already recording the Jets. God forbid if there's an accident or I'm like 3 or 4 minutes late. Like I've got, I'm ready. Case, so I don't miss anything. Sit down in the chair. And I got to tell you, I am pretty much interruption free. I don't need my phone. I don't tweet unless I'm just really angry at something, which is usually the case with the Jets. But I don't tweet incessantly during games. I really don't have much action, although this week I will. Fantasy, really, I don't care if I win or I lose. I couldn't give a rat's ass about
fantasy.
That's a big
thing. It means nothing to me. If I'm in it, and I have one fantasy league that I do care about, that's a part of me that I'm going to want to check the score so I have the phone, and then that leads to group text or buddies texting about the Jets or Giants. Like,
I get those too. I just don't respond. Like, I have made the decision. I'm not trying to sound holier than that. Trust me, I'm not. But I just made the decision, and it doesn't always work. It's not foolproof, but I've made the decision where I'm not going to let meaningless pings on my phone, a stupid gif or funny even if it's funny, it's crass, whatever. Of course I'm going to laugh, but I'm not going to let that take away from what is usually quality family time. Now, sometimes Jen will be out with the kids. I don't miss any games, but sometimes I might have to leave a soccer game early to get home and watch the Jets and the Giants. It's daddy's job, so everybody knows it and understands it. I'm not looking at my phone that much. I do get bored during commercials. I do. But what I'll try to do, and this is really, I will try to start watching the Jet game at like 107. Usually kick is like 103 officially.
So you can buzz through the commercials
a little bit. I'll buzz in, then before you know it, all right, it kind of gets you to the end of the first quarter, then maybe go to the bathroom, maybe check my fantasy. And you just find ways to bridge the gap of time. But it's different. I get that.
Yeah, it is different. Now, though, that they, Boomer and Gio, made me aware of it, I want to have a more conscious effort of not being distracted with the phone in particular. Forget the bet. Or even if you do make the bets or have a fantasy, you set it, and that's it. Mm. Let it sit there for the next 3 hours and lock in on the game.
I got to push back on that. When you have bets flowing, it's hard to set it and forget because you might want to check the second half line. Maybe you saw something going on in the first half.
I want a little action on that. Then it's not about watching the game. It's about the action.
Well, I didn't like the action.
And I like watching four games at once.
I hate that. I don't know how you do.
I can't. I want to try to go back. I have a hard time doing it when I know, especially with the teams here that have sucked for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I like knowing what's going on around the league. I love the NFL. The way that I consume NFL football, I love it. I love having the fantasy implications. I love having action on different games, and I love having four games up at once. However, that does, when you watch four games, you're not really watching.
You're not watching anything. Yeah. You're just kind of glancing and glossing over it. Yeah. I got a question for you. It's a spur of the moment. I think you'll like this. I'll answer it as well. We'll get back to the phones, BT and Sal here on the Fan. So, talking football, and there's nothing like watching football. But if I said to you, all right, Sal, you know, just a regular, like, not even necessarily week one or a big Falcons or a big Jets or a Giants game, just any week in the NFL versus a big Mets game, a big Knicks game, a big Rangers game, because those are your things. I think
it's postseason baseball.
Okay, so, there's nothing like October. Yeah. So October baseball is one. What's two? Got to be Knicks playoffs, dude. What?
I don't know, man. NFL is just so...
regular over a Knicks playoff game?
Even if it's for... you're talking about NFL playoffs or just regular NFL?
NFL regular season.
But the way that I would say it is, baseball playoffs, to me, there's nothing better. Mets, Yankees, doesn't matter. Baseball playoffs, it's got to be Mets or Yankees.
No, I'm with you. I'm like Dodgers, Padres. I'll see what's going on, but I'm not really...
Care as much. Totally. Mets, Yankees playoff game, there's nothing to it. Locked in on every pitch, and I love it.
Every pitch.
NFL Sundays, period. Not even just a singular team. Watching football from start to finish on an NFL Sunday is just a great experience. And that's what I'm saying. It's more than about the game, which then leads us to the alcohol or the food or the gambling. Yeah. That's a part of it. It's like a holiday experience.
I know
every
it is.
Sunday.
I know it is. I know it is. I get it because you don't. Like the food and the drinks, like the Knicks playoff game might be on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, you're locked in.
You're 100% locked in. When we locked in, we watched a couple of games together in my backyard, the fire pit. Locked in. What about a Rangers playoff game? A big one.
Yeah.
First round.
I mean, similar to the Knicks, I'd probably say at this point in my life, Knicks more so. I'm more excited about the Knicks than the Rangers, just the way the two teams have gone. Yeah, playoff games are always special, but there's just nothing like an NFL Sunday. Like, I can't wait. Sunday, 1 o'clock, at the full slate of games.
Got a little chill in the air. Got a little hoodie going on as you get to the store. Like 9:10 in the morning. Still a little nip. I'm not pushing back. It is the best. It is. But the Jets and the Giants have severely stripped away. I mean, we still love it, but good God, they've made it hard.
Yeah, they have. They've tested our patience. Ed is in Northport. What's up, Ed?
Eddie.
Hey, first time, long time, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Ed?
Awesome.
About 5 years ago, I had a client, you know, I was on my phone. He goes, listen, the best thing I've ever done to help with cell phone usage was don't sleep with the phone in the bedroom. Leave the phone in the living room. And when you're done for the night, whether that's 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever that is, the phone stays in the living room and you don't, you know, mashed potato your brain right before you go to bed.
Okay, hold on one second. Here's the problem. It sounds like a great solution. Problem is, for me, it's my alarm clock.
Yeah, I know, mine too.
So, mine as well. So I bought the Apple Watch. Now, obviously, you're not totally disconnecting, but I just use it at night for the alarm because I have to wake up, obviously. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is that in the morning, I'm not just jumping to my phone because I'm not rolling over and there's my phone. I'm literally going about my morning, you know, shower, get dressed, and then on my way out, that's when I pick up my phone. Hmm. And it takes time, but you're almost retraining your brain to not be as dependent on the phone. And I feel like it all started with just keeping the phone in the living room. Now, I know you mentioned it's harder to just not, you know, have the phone by you when you watch a game. But, you know, I'm finding it's not easy, but it's easier to just put the phone in the other room because I'm not...
You nailed it. You nailed it, Ed. I think you're onto something here. And the more you talk about it, I really think I have a major problem. I think we all have problems, but I can't control everybody else. I have a major problem with not even realizing how addicted to the phone I am. And I get called out by my wife on it. Mm-hmm. All the time I'm checking, whatever, the updates with social media. Now, we do need it for our job at times.
Sure. It's a little different for us.
But still, it shouldn't be an excuse. And over the course of vacation, I'm like, man, as a kid, you go on summer vacation and it feel like you were off for months. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking about like a week. It just felt like forever. The days would be endless. You wake up in the morning, you play wiffle ball.
Good old days, Sal.
You walk up to 7-Eleven, whatever. Mm-hmm. It just felt like forever. Play video game, whatever you're doing.
Yep.
And now I find myself, I'm off, I got nothing to do. And it's like, oh, where the hell did day go? It's already 4 o'clock. Like, what's going on? And it's not just a day, it's time. And the thing that I started to learn, unfortunately, toward the end of the vacation was that I think the phone's a big part of the problem. If I didn't have the phone with me and I just took that out of the equation.
Yeah.
I do think it could help slow things down, or at least make you feel like it's slowing things down a little bit.
I think that you're onto something, but I would even say, you know, without the phone, I mean, you ask previous generations, they say the older you get, time moves faster.
But it doesn't. Time moves at the same speed.
Well, true, but I'm saying it feels like.
Yes.
That's why, like, the summers felt like they were 7 months back when we were kids.
But why is that the case? Because you're exactly right. When I'm walking my dog, I'm thinking this exact thing. All right, well, you get older. The older you get, the faster time goes. But no, it doesn't. Time still moves the same, whether you're a 5-year-old or 50-year-old.
I know, literally, it does move the same. I would say that, well, number one, we've got a lot more responsibility. And when you're jumping from place to place to place, like you and I wake up, I mean, most of us do, wake up. And, yeah, we have to go do our job, but we really have to beat the clock. I've got to be in the shower by a certain point. I've got to, you know, be gassed up and out of my driveway by a certain point. Otherwise, I'm not going to get here when I want to get here. And if I don't get here when I want to get here, then it just puts me in the wrong. And I like to get here early, admittedly, and do my reading, but same thing. Now I want to get home. I want to fly through the Holland Tunnels. Like, I got to take my son. He's got a hitting lesson today. And then I got to take him to football.
But
like, there's always something to do.
Right, but explain the vacation. So why? Because on vacation, we don't have work, and it should.
I get bored.
See, maybe you're different than maybe you like having something to do. I think a big part of it, the point is to our last call, I think a big part of it is the phone. It's a crutch. And I even find myself, even if I do consciously leave it in another room,
yep,
during a commercial break, I'll get up and be antsy. And uh-huh, it's like, you want to go check the phone and see what's going on. Like, that's a problem that we have been trained on for however many years the iPhone's sort of becoming a thing, 20 years or whatever it is,
yep,
where I think we just become so accustomed and addicted to that mindset, like, that you can't sit still without, for a 3-minute commercial break,
I know,
without having that fix satiated.
It's like a drug. You're right. It's like a needle. It's like a pill. It's, you know, my dad's got it best. You know, for years, my dad, I'm going to get you the Apple Watch or the Apple phone for Christmas. I don't want it. That's what he'd say. He wouldn't even say, no, thank you. I don't need it. I don't want it. I got everything I need. You want to call me? Call me. He's got a flip phone. So, listen, I do. You and I are different in this respect, Sal. When I wake up, and I usually wake up before my alarm, unfortunately, but I don't, like, open up my phone, and which is right by my nightstand or on my nightstand by my bed. The only thing I might check is if I fell asleep at the end of the Yankees and the Mets, which is rare because I almost always fall asleep to sports night because I like the way they wrap it up on SNY. So it's incredibly rare that I wake up and I don't know if the Yankees or Mets won. Maybe once every 30 games, right? So that's I just shut the alarm off if I wake up in advance. And even when I don't look at social media. I know I didn't tweet anything. I'm not looking for, all right, who hit me back. I don't care. I really don't. I can say that. I don't care. And even when I'm playing golf, even when I'm playing terrible golf, which is when you would think you would look at your phone, I'm disconnected. When I'm in my back, you hear me talk about my fire pit a lot. I'll go back there, play a little music, obviously watch the games. The only time I look at my phone is to play music, man. Like, or if a buddy's coming over, hey, you know, what do you need? What time are you getting here? That's it. I'm not married to it there. But when I'm watching something is when I have a rough time disconnecting because I need the I can't, commercials drive me nuts.
So I need to power up with a new pen in a little bit. Let's power up with the most important. You can interpret this however way you wanted to. We're going over with Hoff, but the most important football players ahead in New York ahead
just
of the
in
2025 season.
Both now, Jets and Giants, yeah.
Yes, for me, I know we're going to disagree on the number here. I have Andrew Thomas at number 5 for me. We've talked about his importance all along. I took this, meaning under the microscope more, kind of more sexy pick. Offensive line is tough, but we know the importance of Thomas. He's got to be healthy on the offensive line for the Giants, specifically to placate Russell Wilson, who likes to throw the deep ball. You want to have him in place. I know he did not practice today, but they said it was more of a just normal, you know, maintenance
preventative
ahead of the actual week one matchup. But I would have Thomas as number 5 on my list.
Yeah, he's obviously on my list, but not at number 5. Number 5 for me, it's funny because we had Anthony Becht on earlier, if you guys missed it. Free Odyssey app, obviously, in the booth there with Bobby Wischusen on the Jets radio. Mason Taylor. And the reason I look at this is, you know, I'm sure somebody's going to emerge as at least, I hope somebody's going to be competent on the other side of Garrett Wilson as the other wide receiver. But I'm not necessarily banking on that. You're going to need another vertical weapon here. And Mason Taylor, and the Jets just never have a tight end. If they can just have somebody once or twice, you know, 20, 30 yards, even if you don't score, just to really keep the defense honest, you can continue to run the ball. You can't double-team Garrett as much. I think Mason Taylor, I don't know if he's going to start very well, you know, in terms of start like hot and be a stud like Brock Bowers. I'm not saying that. he's got to have influence on the season. He's number five for me.
Yeah, I like that. He didn't make my list, but I like that. And it's kind of in line where I'm going with the rest of my picks, like players that I want to see the most. And obviously guys that are going to have to be impactful here. Number four for me would be Kayvon Thibodeau. I think this is a huge year for him. You know, the Giants picked up the fifth-year option, sure, but it's time for him to explode. And our criticism of him wasn't that he was a total bust or useless player. It was that when you get picked that high and are supposed to be a game-changing edge pass rusher, you've got to have more of an impact than Kayvon Thibodeau has had so far throughout the course of his career. Now, he had the one big season as far as the sack total goes. He says he wants to go out there and beat Strahan's record to be on that level. Well, I want to see that from Kayvon Thibodeau on a defense that's supposed to be elite. That's the talk. So I'm focusing on the Giants defense. I want to see Kayvon Thibodeau have his impact and presence felt certainly more than he had a year ago.
I like it. And listen, he's not on my list here, but I could easily put him there. And there's other guys that the opposing offenses have to worry about. You got to worry about a lot of players, right, whether it's Burns, whether it's Sexy Dexy. I mean, obviously, there's some Abdul Carter. There's weapons there. So he should have more lanes to get in there and do some damage. And usually when you're like an edge rusher, you pop like immediately.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
So. And he has popped, but he hasn't been a consistent star, which is what we thought he would be.
Usually that's one thing that either right away you find out he is it or he isn't.
Correct.
With an edge rusher.
Number four for me, I'm going to go with a Jet here, Olu Fashanu. You know, you look at the what the Jets are going to do here, and now there's almost no margin for error without ABT. I think Membud is going to be very good. I wanted them to draft him out of Missouri. They did. Tippmann's okay. Myers at center could be okay. But to me, Olu Fashanu is the guy who can be an absolute superstar. His tape from last year before he went down is phenomenal. And left tackle, as important a spot as there is on the football field, Fashanu number four for me, Sal.
I got number three here. And it's funny, you're going Jets offensive line. I tried to stay away from the offensive line outside of Thomas. I'm going Giants defense is where I'm loading up, right? The theme for the Jets, offensive line, whatever. They're going to run the football.
Run the ball, yeah.
Theme for the Giants is going to be that defense. Abdul Carter, man, I want to see it. What is he going to be? Because to your point about these edge rushers, these pass rushers, usually you see it right away. He, to me, we both had this conversation. I thought he was the best player coming out of the draft. I had no doubts about it. He's the pick. If the Giants could get him at three, that is a steal, even though they needed the quarterback. They did end up getting him. Now I want to see that talent translate to the NFL when it counts on Sundays. It is a different game, obviously, from college football. We've seen some good and some bad in the preseason with Abdul Carter.
Yep.
What type of impact? I would say that where I'm at now is I'm not as confident in Carter being a stud as I was prior to the preseason. And that doesn't mean anything. It's not like I'm saying, oh, no, he's not going to be as good. I'm just saying that my confidence level from day one was that he was going to be an absolute no doubt about it stud. And now, I don't know if it was just
the temper, tapping the brakes a little bit.
Just a little bit. The numbers nonsense, the trash talk after he got flattened.
Yeah, with that chip lock with the Jets, yeah.
Yeah, like those things to me were like, I don't know if he's as badass as I thought he was going to be. Now, I still believe he's going to be good, but yeah. I want to see it. So Abdul Carter, number three, certainly a player I'm going to have my eye on this
year. That's a good call. I guarantee you this guy's not on your list, and it's probably going to seem nonsensical that he's on my list here, but when you hear the reasons, I think it might change your opinion. Russell Wilson for me at number three.
Wow.
If Russell Wilson can at least provide stability, it doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be Hall of Fame Russell Wilson. You don't have to let Russ cook, but he can't implode because what I would like to see is when they go to Jackson Dart, it's because they believe truly the Jackson Dart's ready and they can handle. And I think there's going to be sub packages early. I said that the other day with QB number two. But I don't want them to rush into anything unnecessarily. And at least if Russell Wilson can play competent, not amazing, competent football for a month, for 5 weeks, whatever it might be, you just get him more reps. You give that offensive line a chance to gel more in front of Jackson Dart, and it sets up Dart more for success. So it's Russell Wilson, but it really equates to being about Jackson Dart. But Russell, indirectly, Russell Wilson's three for me.
Russ is not on my list, so we have not had an agreement yet. I get the feeling we might have an agreement here.
We're getting somewhere.
Number two for me, Sauce Gardner.
No, I don't have him.
Wow. No. You don't have Sauce on your list at all.
No, I don't, Gunn.
Well, I guess you could have had number two, right? So if you didn't have number two, I know who's, I'm assuming who number one is. I think this is a huge year for Sauce Gardner. Yeah. I know he got the contract. All Sauce has been all talk, and you can give me whatever metrics you want. I've watched football long enough to know that he has not been the dominant shutdown corner that he thinks he is or that he was expected to be. I still believe he could be it, and I'm hoping that this year with Aaron Glenn, with having him play the right way, meaning have him cover man coverage, that's it. Stop with the zone nonsense. Put him on the best receiver on the opposing team and let him shut him down. That is a true cornerback. You don't want to throw at him? Fine. So you don't have the interceptions. I don't care about that. When you do have the opportunities to make an interception, make the play. He's dropped too many of them. Oh, man. I would argue that, and he is. Is he the only Jet on my list? He is. Maybe Vera Tucker would have made the list. Obviously, he's hurt already.
Yep.
He's the only Jet on my list, and I think it's a big, big year for Sauce Gardner.
Well, I think it's a big year. Don't get me wrong. And a lot of ways, too, I look at what I think Aaron Glenn is going to do for Sauce Gardner what Joe Girardi couldn't do for Gary Sanchez. Mm. I think that Aaron Glenn is going to be phenomenal for Sauce. Now, last year was very disappointing. Number one, he was checking out of tackles. When he tried to tackle, he's just too light. He doesn't really wrap up very well. But he also, I don't think he was deployed properly. His first year was brilliant, where he was all pro. His second year was really good, where he was a pro bowler. Last year was a step back. I think that was more circumstantial. And I guess maybe, Sal, the reason why he's not on my list is I'm already assuming that he's going to revert back, go back to what he was in a good way. But I hear you. You got paid. Now you better step up and basically be Revis. That's basically what you better
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm intrigued here. What do you got
Abdul
number two?
Carter. Oh, and the okay. Very, very short and sweet here. I hear you on the chip lock and whatever. I think that this guy is going to be a snap one generational transformative game wrecker for the New York Giants. I have no doubt. I wanted them to draft him. We said the same thing the day after they did draft him. I have not been deterred at all. This young man is going to come flying out of the stable and destroy everybody, starting with Jaden Daniels. Now, if he doesn't, then that would obviously change what I think the Giants could become. I think the Giants' defense could not be good. I think their front seven could be great. And I don't want to say it starts with him, because obviously Dexter is there as well, and the other pieces. He elevates it. I mean, in theory, to a defense that could win you games and turn you over, Abdul Carter, number two for
okay,
me.
Okay, there we go. For me, number one, now, you mentioned Russell Wilson before, but it was more about Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart is number one on my list. Now, I don't know when he's going to start. I think I was already wrong about their plan, because they've had him as QB2. They've officially announced that. We know that. We had Baldy on, Brian Baldinger, yesterday. He said he thinks we could see Jackson Dart as early as week five, which to me was
early. That's the Saints game.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I still don't think that that's going to be the case, but maybe I'm wrong on this, and there is not going to be any bigger talking point this football season with the Jets or the Giants,
yep,
anything bigger than Jackson Dart. I can't wait to see it. I'm not rushing to see it, because I want the Giants to do this the right way. And in my mind, the right way would be letting him sit as long as you possibly can. But who's to say that if they deem that he's ready,
yep,
let's let him go. I can't wait to see Jackson Dart. He is my number one.
It's a great one. Now, listen, this is where I differ a little bit here. I looked at this, and my personal application was at, like, absolute factors on this. Not so much storylines. I think there's no doubt Jackson Dart's storyline one, two, and maybe three for all of New York right now. But in terms of, like, just impacting wins and losses, yep, so I attacked a little differently. And for me, it's simple. It's Andrew Thomas. You had him at number five. I've got him at number one. Andrew Thomas plays, and the Giants O-line is functional. And the Giants could operate, and they could get a little deeper into the playbook, and they could shoot some bombs downfield with Russell Wilson, obviously, looking to throw it deep, which he still does well. When Andrew Thomas is not out there, the left side becomes a turnstile. Residually speaking, the rest of the offensive line becomes an absolute dysfunctional mess where they don't even look like a professional unit. He is that good. I think he's one of the top two or three, definitely three, probably top two, left tackles in football. I think he's by far the most important football player in New York. If he gets hurt, the Giants season changes on a dime.
Yeah, looking forward to watching any of these five that we each have on our list, how they develop this year, how they play this year, and certainly they're going to be big talking points, whether it's the Giants offensive line with Thomas, whether it's the Giants quarterback situation, same thing with the Jets and their offensive line, the defenses for each of these teams, plenty of storylines going in as we look forward to week one coming up Sunday. Jets obviously hosting the Steelers, Giants at Washington.
Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day
Today brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
I thought he was ducking me. Since I moved to the middays with UBT, I feel like I haven't heard from Ian Eagle in quite some time. We used to text, and now we do not. He's since moved on to multiple partners at CBS. A new one will be unveiled this Sunday while he does the Jets game. Jets Steelers, Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt on the call. We welcome to the show, Ian Eagle. How are you, Ian?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First one, Juan Soto. Is there a locker room dynamic issue? Second one, okay. Nolan McClain. Do you think if he put his mind to it, he could have played in the NFL? I'll hang up and listen back.
Oh, man, we had some fun with Ian earlier on. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Let's finish up on the phones, yeah. BT. We got Ben is in Brooklyn. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Good. What's up, buddy?
All right. About your thing with time going faster. It doesn't, obviously, but it's all relative, man. When you're 1 year old, the summertime is one quarter of your whole life. When you're 50-something like me, that's 1/200 of your life. So if you think about it, it's all about relativity.
All right. Well, that was depressing. Thanks, buddy.
I don't believe that, though. I heard about the theory of relativity and all that stuff, and thanks for the call, Ben. I'm not buying it. Time moves the same pace. And I'm talking about just at least, we all know we can't slow it down. Regardless of if you're one, my daughter's four. Time is moving the same way it is for her as it is for me.
Correct.
Like, we go to the same places together, and the clock moves at the same speed. She may interpret it differently.
Well, that's the point. That's what he was saying. The perspective is, it's all relative to your age.
But it is, so you can change the perspective if you eliminate certain things. I think if you're sitting there on your phone, you're like, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that, that can make the time go quicker. If you don't, I felt it myself. So I'm an example. If you put the phone away and don't worry about the clock and don't worry about anything to do, and I walk outside and I go read a newspaper or go put the music on by the pool and go in the pool, and I'm just chilling like, oh. And then later in the day, I ask my wife, what time is it? And she says noon or four. Like, it's all, doesn't matter to me. Like, time is not of a thing in that situation. If you have things lined up for Colt or whatever it may be, then time is going to become a thing because you're paying attention to the clock.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. Like, when you're hanging out and you're young, it feels like the night's going to go on forever.
Right.
I notice, because I'm very responsible, just because I have a lot of things to do. I notice if I don't go out, like, out. Jen and I'll go to dinner, have a glass of wine here and there. But when I'm going to cut loose, I'm going to usually cut loose in my backyard. I've told you that with the fire pit, right? And I notice that when I check my clock or my, that's really the only time I open up my phone or to change the song and music in the backyard, I'm like, wow, it's getting late. Oh, it's getting late. Time's moving fast, right? But I never felt that way in college when I was hanging at a bar. I never once thought about the time. That goes back to what the last caller said, relative, what percentage of your life, the fraction. It definitely, there's something to it.
Yeah, Bobby is calling from Mattawan. What's up, Bobby?
What's up, guys? How you been?
Good.
Bobby,
what's up?
What's cooking, man?
I just had to chime in really on childish Madden behavior that I have done in the past. Remember, my buddy, Big Rye, had an apartment. He was the first guy in the neighborhood to, like, have his own apartment. It was like the draft team.
Yeah.
And we would just have tournaments. And I was, like, 9-0 one year. I was steamrolling. And I had Mushi Muhammad was my wide receiver.
Panthers.
And I've never seen this before, never seen it again. He got hit in the game, and it said, out for career.
Ooh.
And I ended up losing the rest of the season. I kicked my friend in the leg and I stormed out of the apartment and I ruined my whole season.